Vishranti. Om Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so now we've heard from the all the different personalities who they've become, from the demigods and the demons that have taken birth on the earth for the Lord's pastimes. So now we continue on, what is it? This is 68. Janamejaya said, O Brahmana, I have indeed heard from thee this account of the incarnation according to their portions of the gods, the Danavas, the Rakshasas, and also of the Gandharvas and Apsaras. I, however, again desire to hear of the dynasty of the Kurus from the very beginning. Therefore, O Brahmana, speak of this in the presence of all these regenerate rishis. Vaishampayana said, O exalted one of Bharata's race, the founder of the Paurava line was Dushmanta, gifted with great energy, and he was the protector of the earth bounded by the four seas. And that king has full sway over four quarters of this world. And he was the lord also of various regions in the midst of the sea. And the great oppressor of all foes has sway over the countries even of the Mlechas. And during his rule there were no men of mixed castes, no tillers of the soil, for the land of itself yielded produce. No workers of mines, for the surface of the earth yielded in abundance, and no sinful men. All were virtuous and did everything from virtuous motives. O tiger among men, there was no fear of thieves. O dear one, no fear of famine, no fear of disease. And all four orders took pleasure in doing their respective duties and never performed religious acts for obtaining fruition of desires. And his subjects, depending upon him, never entertained any fear. And Parjanya, Indra, poured showers at the proper time, and the produce of the fields was always pulpy and juicy. And the earth was full of all kinds of wealth and all kinds of animals. And the Brahmanas were always engaged in their duties, and they were always truthful. And the youthful monarch was endued with wonderful prowess and a physical frame hard as a thunderbolt, so that he could take up the mountain Mandara with its forests and bushes, supported on his arms. And he was well skilled in four kinds of encounters with the mace, hurling it at foes at a distance, striking at those that are near, whirling it in the midst of the army, and driving the foe before. And he was skilled also in the use of all kinds of weapons, and in riding elephants and horses. And in strength he was like unto Vishnu, in splendor like under the maker of day, means the sun, in gravity like under the ocean, and in patience like unto the earth. And the monarch was loved by all his subjects, and he ruled his contented people virtuously. Right, so this is when there's a good ruler, then we see the effects so much here. That so no mixed caste, so everyone just stayed within what was their nature. Right, so everything was nicely planned. In other words, it wasn't due to just desire or lust that people were getting married, but they were actually seeing who would be appropriate, had the similar nature, same nature, and then they were themselves getting married. So then their children would also be of that exact same nature. And we see that they didn't have to plow the fields. So that means that it would grow. In other words, you grow so much, and then the grain will fall on the ground. So it'll grow and you harvest it, right? But in harvesting, so much will fall on the ground. But there was so much abundance, people didn't have to pick it up. You understand? You know, so there were no poor people, there were no starving. So it just stays there. Then it will regrow the next season. You understand? So they didn't have to. And the earth, you just had things lying on the top. You didn't have to dig. Like now they have mines. But let's say, I heard of one place on the coast. How is it? The south east coast on Africa. There are beaches there where there's just diamonds just lying on the beach. Right? So they have them all fenced off and people there with machine guns and that to make sure that, you know, nobody gets any ideas. But then that's what's left now, just because people, no one was around there, right? But we see is that was common before. That's it. Does that make sense? So, just so nicely done that everything was there. So, no sinful men. Everyone was virtuous. Everyone did things from virtuous motives. They didn't have they were not that they were doing something virtuous from a non-virtuous motive. Right? I'm doing something very properly, but I have some other purpose that I'm trying to do. Right? And it says that no one did their work with the idea of getting a fruitive result. Right? I'm just doing it because it's my duty to do it. That means the people were so satisfied that they didn't think of that they need something beyond. You know what I'm saying? They're just so taken care of. And there was no fear of disease. What's that? Famine, disease, thieves. So that just means everything was in such great abundance and well managed that everyone was so happy and so satisfied there was no need to think of beyond what you had, right? And so they just stuck to doing their duties and God consciousness, these kind of things, right? That's how they would spend their time. Yeah? That makes sense. Okay. Anyone remembers what this king's name was? Dushmanta, yes. Got to read it. Okay. Section 69. Janamejaya said, I desire to hear from thee about the birth and life of the high-souled Bharata and of the origin of Shakuntala. And, O Holy One, I also desire to hear all about Dushmanta, that lion amongst men, and how the hero obtained Shakuntala. It behooveth thee, O knower of truth, and the first of all intelligent men, to tell me everything. Vaishampayana said, Once upon a time, King Dushmanta of mighty arms, accompanied by a large force, went into the forest. And he took with him hundreds of horses and elephants. And the force that accompanied the monarch was of four kinds. Right? Anyone knows the four kinds? What are these four kinds?
Horse.
Foot soldiers.
Elephants.
And chariots. Yes? That's when you're in chess, what are the four kinds of pieces on the board? Huh?
Rook.
But what is a rook?
Elephant.
An elephant. Right? Then, what's a bishop?
Chariot.
Then?
Horse
is a horse, okay, and?
So it goes for pawns.
Pawns, yeah. And then, what are the other two pieces?
King and
the?
General.
All right, queens run all over the board? Is that what they do? Maybe in the West, but generals run all over the board, okay? That's why you guys should play the Vedic chess, not the modern one. Yes. Then you will know all these things. Okay. Okay. Accompanying the monarch was... The force that accompanied the monarch was of four kinds. Heroes armed with swords and darts, so they've had foot soldiers, car warriors, cavalry, and elephants. heroes armed with swords and darts, and bearing in their hands maces and stout clubs, and surrounded by hundreds of warriors with lances and spears in their hands. The monarch set out on his journey, and with the leonine roars of the warriors, and the notes of conches and sounds of drums, and with the rattle of car wheels and shrieks of huge elephants, all mingling with the neighing of horses and the clash of weapons of the various armed attendants in diverse dress, there arose a deafening tumult while the king was on his march. And ladies gifted with great beauty beheld from the terraces of goodly mansions that heroic monarch, the achiever of his own fame. And the ladies saw that he was like unto Shakra, the slayer of his enemies, capable of repulsing the elements of foes. And they believed that he was the wielder of the thunderbolt himself. And they said, "This is that tiger among men, who in battle is equal unto the Vasus in prowess, and in consequence of the might of those arms, no foes are left." And saying this, the ladies from affection gratified the monarch by showering flowers on his head. Now I ask you, do you think maybe this is an interpolation? Right? Somebody's inserted this just to, shouldn't it read that the ladies are so impressed that, oh look, there's somebody who, you know, goes and he's under the complete control of his mother and does nothing in the house. He's a complete lazy bum and is expecting everybody to make him the center of attention. Oh, isn't he so fabulous? Shouldn't that be the real thing that obsesses him? Yes? No? Oh, okay. Sorry, my mistake. And saying this, the ladies from affection gratified the monarch by showering flowers on his head. And followed by forward notice that he is something, then the ladies are responding. Right? Not that he's doing nothing, and therefore the ladies are supposed to be impressed. Right? Yeah. Okay? Remember these things. And followed by foremost the Brahmins, uttering blessings all the way, the king in great gladness of heart went towards the forest, eager for slaying the deer. And many Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras followed the monarch, who was like unto the king of the celestials, seated on the back of a proud elephant. The citizens and other classes followed the monarch for some distance, and they at last refrained from going farther at the command of the king. Right? In other words, they want to come, so they come for some distance, so that rasa is there. But at some point, then the king says, okay, that's enough. You know, they should go back, otherwise they'll get too far, they'll get tired, they won't be taken care of. Because, you know, going to the forest is a rougher life, right? Does that make sense? But, you know, they stay for some time, and this way then there's some interaction. Right? They're able to show their affection, he reciprocates it, like that. Okay? And the king then, ascending his chariot of winged speed, filled the whole earth and even the heavens with the rattle of his chariot wheels. And as he went, he saw around him a forest like unto Nandana itself, the celestial garden. And it was full of bilva, arka, kadira, I think it's jackfruit, kapita, wood apple, and dava trees. And he saw that the soil was uneven and scattered over with blocks of stone, loosened from the neighboring cliffs. And he saw that it was without water and without human beings, and lay extended for many yojanas around, and it was full of deer and lions and other terrible beasts of prey. Right? So it said lions, right? So that's the top. And it says other terrible. Right there. Okay. And King Dushmanta, that tiger among men, assisted by his followers and the warriors in his train, agitated that forest, killing numerous animals. And Dushmanta piercing them with his arrows, felled numerous tigers that were within shooting range. And the king wounded many that were too distant, and killed many that were too near with his heavy sword. And that foremost of all wielder of darts killed many by hurling his darts at them. And well conversant with the art of whirling the mace, The king of immeasurable prowess fearlessly wandered over the forest. And the king roamed about, killing the denizens of the wilderness, sometimes with his sword, sometimes by fast descending blows of his mace and heavy club. And when the forest was so disturbed by the king, possessed of wonderful energy, and by the warriors in his train, delighting in warlike sports, the lions began to desert it in numbers. Right? So they figured, not worth fighting with these guys. Right? And herds of animals, deprived of their leaders, from fear and anxiety, began to utter loud cries as they fled in all directions. And fatigued with running, they began to fall down on all sides, unable to slake their thirst, having reached riverbeds that were perfectly dry. And many, so fallen, were eaten up by the hungry warriors, while others were eaten up after having been duly quartered and roasted in fires lit up by them. And many strong elephants, maddened with the wounds they received, and alarmed beyond measure, fled with tusks raised on high. And those wild elephants, betraying the usual symptoms of alarm by urinating and injecting the contents of the stomachs, and vomiting blood in large quantities, trampled as they ran many warriors to death. So I guess reciprocal here. And that forest, which had been full of animals, was by the king, with his bands of followers, with sharp weapons, soon made bereft of lions and tigers, and other monarchs of the wilderness. Section 70. Vaishampayana said, then the king with his followers, having killed thousands of animals, entered another forest with a view to hunting, and attended by a single follower and fatigued with hunger and thirst, he came upon a large desert in the frontiers of the forest. And having crossed this herbless plain, the king came upon another forest full of retreats of ascetics, beautiful to look at, delightful to the heart, of cool, agreeable breezes. And it was full of trees covered with blossoms, the soil overgrown with the softest and greenest grass, extending for many miles around and echoing with the sweet notes of winged warblers. And it resounded with the notes of the male coquila and the shrill chichala. And it was full of magnificent trees with outstretched branches, forming a shady canopy overhead. And the bees hovered over flowery creepers all around. And there were beautiful bowers in every place. And there was no tree without fruits, none that had prickles on it, none that had no bees swarming around it. Right? So these are the trees. No tree that didn't have fruits and flowers. Yes. Y'all heard? The last 15 minutes we'll go through.
It'll be like 15 questions.
There'll be some tests like that. Because this is the last one that we're being about. Right? Because the Shingya Chaturdhisi and then I think then you go and stuff like that.
So basically you're showing that that's
and the whole sap forest resounded with the melody of winged choristers. And it was decked with the flowers of every season. And there were refreshing shades of blossoming trees. Right? So that means all the trees were in blossom at all the time. Such was the delicious and excellent forest that the great bowman entered. And the trees with branches beautiful with clusters began to wave gently at the soft breeze and rain their flowers over the monarch's head. And the trees clad in their flowery attires of all colors, with sweet-throated warblers perched on them, stood there in rows with heads touching the very heavens. And around their branches hanging down with the weight of flowers, the bees tempted by the honey hummed in sweet choruses. And the king, endued with great energy, beholding innumerable spots covered with bowers of creepers, decked with clusters of flowers from excess of gladness, became very much charmed. And the forest was exceedingly beautiful in consequence of those trees ranged around with flowery branches, twining with each other and looking like so many rainbows Oh, many rainbows for gaudiness and variety of color. And it was the resort of bands of Siddhas, of the Charanas, of the tribes of the Gandharvas and Apsaras, of monkeys and Kinaras, drunk with delight. Delicious, cool, and fragrant breezes, conveying the fragrance from fresh flowers, blew in all directions, as if they had come there to sport with the trees. And the king saw that charming forest gifted with such beauties, and it was situated in a delta of the river. And the cluster of high trees standing together lent the place the look of a gaudy pole erected to Indra's honor. Gaudy means like very bright, you know, different colors, like that. And in that forest, which was the resort of ever cheerful birds, the monarch saw a delightful and charming retreat of ascetics. There were many trees around it, and the sacred fire was burning within it. The king worshipped that unrivaled retreat, and he saw seated in the numerous yotis, in it numerous yatis, meaning sannyasis, valakilyas, and other munis. And it was adorned with many chambers containing sacrificial fire. And the flowers dropping from the trees had formed a thick carpet spread over the ground. And the spot looked exceedingly beautiful with all those tall trees of large trunks. And by it flowed, O king, the sacred and transparent Malini, with every species of waterfowl playing on its bosom. And that stream infused gladness into the hearts of the ascetics, who resorted to it for purposes of ablutions. And the king beheld on its banks many innocent animals of the deer species, and was exceedingly delighted with all that he saw. And the monarch, the courser of whose chariot no foe could obstruct, then entered that asylum which was like under the region of the celestials, being exceedingly beautiful all over. And the king saw that it stood on the margin of the sacred stream, which was like the mother of all the living creatures residing in its vicinage. And on its banks sported the Chakrabaka, and waves of milk-like foam. And there also stood the habitations of Kinaras, and monkeys and bears too, disporting themselves in numbers. And there lived also holy ascetics engaged in studies and meditation. And there could be seen also elephants and tigers and snakes. And it was on the banks of that stream that the excellent asylum of the illustrious Kasyapa stood, offering a home to numerous rishis of great ascetic merit. And beholding that river and also the asylum washed by that river, which was studded with many islands, and which possessed banks of so much beauty, an asylum like that of Nara and Narayana, laved by the water of the Ganga, the king resolved to enter into that sacred abode. And that bull among men, desirous of beholding the great rishi of ascetic wealth, the illustrious Kanva, of the race of Kasyapa, one who possessed every virtue and who, for his splendor, could be gazed at with difficulty, approached that forest resounding with the notes of maddened peacocks, alike under the gardens of the great Gandharva, Chittaratta himself. And halting his army consisting of flags, cavalry, infantry, and elephants at the entrance of the forest, the monarch spoke as follows: "I shall go to behold the mighty ascetic of Kasyapa's race, one who is without darkness. Stay here until my return." And the king, having entered that forest, which was like unto Indra's garden, soon forgot his hunger and thirst, and he was pleased beyond measure. And the monarch, laying aside all signs of royalty, entered that excellent asylum with but his minister and his priest, desirous of beholding that rishi, who was an indestructible mass of ascetic merit. And the king saw that the asylum was like under the region of Brahman. Here were bees sweetly humming, and there were winged warblers of various species pouring forth their melodies. At particular places, that tiger among men heard the chanting of Rig hymns by first-rate brahmanas, according to the just rules of intonation. Other places again were graced with brahmanas acquainted with ordinances of sacrifice, of the angas and of the hymns of the Yajurveda. Other places, again, were filled with the harmonious strains of Saman hymns, sung by vow-observing rishis. At other places, the asylum was decked with Brahmanas learned in the Atharvan Veda. At other places, again, Brahmanas learned in the Atharva Veda and those capable of chanting the sacrificial hymns of the Saman were reciting the Samhitas according to the just rules of voice. And at other places, again, other Brahmanas well acquainted with the science of Orthopi were reciting mantras of other kinds. In fact, that sacred retreat resounded with these holy notes was like under a second region of Brahman himself. And there were many Brahmanas skilled in the art of making sacrificial platforms and in the rules of krama in sacrifices, conversant with logic and the mental sciences, and possessing a complete knowledge of the Vedas. There were also those who were fully acquainted with the meanings of all kinds of expressions, those who were conversant with all special rites, and those that were followers of moksha dharma. Those again that were well skilled in establishing propositions, rejecting superfluous causes, and drawing right conclusions. Right? In other words, those who were expert in the use of logic and proper discussions. There were those having a knowledge of the science of words, grammar, of prosody, of nirupta, you know, vocabulary, and prosody is meter. Those again were conversant with astrology and learned in the properties of matter and the fruits of sacrificial rites, possessing a knowledge of causes and effects, capable of understanding the cries of birds and monkeys, well read in large treatises and skilled in various sciences. And the king, as he proceeded, heard their voices, and the retreat resounded also with voice of men capable of charming human hearts. And the slayer of hostile hoes also saw around him learned Brahmins of rigid vows, engaged in japa and homa. And the king wondered much on beholding the beautiful carpets which those Brahmanas offered to him respectfully, and that best of monarchs at the sight of the rites with which those Brahmanas worshipped the gods and the great rishis, thought within himself that he was in the region of Brahman. And the more the king saw that auspicious and sacred asylum of Kasyapa, protected by that rishi's ascetic virtues and possessed of all the requisites of holy retreat, the more he desired to see it. In fact, he was not satisfied with his short survey, and the slayer of heroes at last, accompanied by his minister and priest, entered that charming and sacred retreat of Kasyapa, inhabited all around by rishis of ascetic wealth and exalted vows. Vaishampayana said, the monarch then, as he proceeded, left even his reduced retinue at the entrance of the hermitage. In other words, he went in himself. He left the priest and the prime minister. And entering quietly, quiet alone, he saw not the rishi kanva of rigid vows. And not seeing the rishi and finding that the abode was empty, he called loudly saying, what ho, who is here? And the sound of his voice was echoed back. And hearing the sound of his voice, there came out of the rishi's abode a maiden beautiful as Shri herself, but dressed as an ascetic's daughter. And the black-eyed fair one, as she saw King Dushmanta, bade him welcome and received him duly, and showing him due respect by the offer of a seat, water to wash his feet, and argya, she inquired about the monarch's health and peace. And having worshipped the king and asked him about his health and peace, the maiden reverently asked, what must be done, O king? I await your commands. The king, duly worshipped by her, said unto the maiden of faultless features and sweet speech, I have come to worship the high blessed Rishi Kanva. Tell me, O amiable and beautiful one, where has the illustrious Rishi gone? Shakuntala then answered, my illustrious father hath gone away from the asylum to fetch fruit. Wait but a moment, and thou wilt see him when he arrives. Vaishampayana continued, the king, not seeing the rishi, and addressed thus by her, beheld that the maiden was exceedingly beautiful, and endued with perfect symmetry of shape. And he saw that she was of sweet smiles, and she stood decked with the beauty of her faultless features, her ascetic penances, and her humility. And she saw that she was in the bloom of youth, and he therefore asked her, Who art thou, and whose daughter, O beautiful one? Why hast thou come to the woods also? O handsome one, gifted with so much beauty and such virtues, whence hast thou come? O charming one, at the very first glass thou hast stolen my heart. I desire to learn all about thee, therefore tell me all. And thus addressed by the monarch, the maiden smiling replied in these sweet words, O Dushmanta, I am the daughter of the virtuous, wise, high-souled, and illustrious ascetic Kanva. Dushmanta, hearing this, replied, The universally worshipped and highly blessed Rishi is one whose seed hath been drawn up. Even Dharma himself might fall off from his course, but an ascetic of rigid vows can never fall off so. He's saying, even Yamaraj may give up his duties, you know, and become irreligious, but Kanva never will. So he's a strict Naistika Brahmachari. So his point is, how are you his daughter? Right? That's his question. Therefore, O thou of the fairest complexion, how hast thou been born as his daughter? This great doubt of mine, it behooveth thee to dispel. Shakuntala then replied, Hear, O king, what I have learnt regarding all that befell me of old, and how I became the daughter of the Muni. Once upon a time, a Rishi came here and asked about my birth, and all that the illustrious one Kanva told him, hear now from me. In other words, she heard it because another sage asked the same question, and Kanva explained it to him, and so she heard that. My father Kanva, in answer to that Rishi's inquiry, said, Vishwamitra of old, having been engaged in the austerest penances, alarmed Indra, the chief of the celestials, who thought that the mighty ascetic of blazing energy would, by his penances, hurl him down from his high seat in heaven. Indra, thus alarmed, summoned Menaka and told her, Thou, O Menaka, art the first of celestial apsaras. Therefore, O amiable one, do me this service, hear what I say. This great ascetic Vishwamitra, like under the sun in splendor, is engaged in the most severe of penances. My heart is trembling with fear. Indeed, O slender waisted Menaka, this is thy business. Now must see that Vishwamitra of soul, wrapped in contemplation and engaged in the austerest penances, who might hurl me down from my seat. Go and tempt him, and frustrating his continued austerities, accomplish my good. Win him away from his penances, O beautiful one, by tempting him with thy beauty, youth, agreeableness, arts, smiles, and speech. Hearing all, right? I seem to use this agreeableness a lot. Hearing all this, Menaka replied, The illustrious Vishwamitra is endued with great energy and is a mighty ascetic. He is very short-tempered too, as is known to thee. The energy, penances, and wrath of the high-souled one hath made even me, thee, anxious. Why should I not also be anxious? He it was who made even the illustrious Vishishta bear the pangs of witnessing the premature death of his children. He it was who, though at first born as Kshatriya, subsequently became a Brahmana by virtue of his ascetic penances. He it was who, for purposes of his ablutions, created a deep river that can with difficulty be forded, and which sacred stream is known by the name of Kaushiki. It was Vishwamitra whose wife, in season of distress, was maintained by the royal sage Matanga, Trishanku, who was then living under a father's curse as a hunter. It was Vishwamitra who, on returning after the famine was over, changed the name of the stream, having his asylum, from Kaushika into Para. It was Vishwamitra who, in return for the services of Matanga, himself became the latter's priest for purposes of a sacrifice. The Lord of the Celestials himself went through fear to drink the Soma juice. It was Vishwamitra who, in anger, created a second world and numerous stars, beginning with Shravan. It was he who granted protection to Trishanku, smarting under a superior's curse. I am frightened to approach him of such deeds. Tell me, O Indra, the means that should be adopted so that I may not be burnt by his wrath. He can burn the three worlds by his splendor, can by a stamp of his foot cause the earth to shake. He can sever the great marrow from the earth and hurl it to any distance. He can go around the 10 points of the earth in a moment. How can a woman like me even touch such one full of ascetic virtues, like unto a blazing fire, and having his passions under complete control? His mouth is like unto a blazing fire. The pupils of his eyes are like the sun and the moon. His tongue is like unto Yama himself. How shall, O chief of the celestials, a woman like me even touch him? At the thought of the prowess of Yama, Soma, the great Rishis, the Sadhyas, the Vishwas, the Valakilyas, are terrified. How can a woman like me gaze at him without alarm? Commanded, however, by thee, O king of the celestials, I shall somehow approach that Rishi. But, O chief of the gods, devise thou some plan whereby, protected by thee, I may safely move about that Rishi. I think that when I begin to play before the Rishi, Marut, the god of wind, had better go there and rob me of my dress. And Manmata, the god of love, had also, at thy command, better help me then. Let also Marut, on that occasion, bear thither fragrance from the woods to tempt the Rishi. Saying this, and seeing all that she had spoken about had been duly provided, Menaka went to the retreat of the great Kaushika. Okay. You have some questions? Huh?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Huh?
You want him to turn around? Or you want to come up here?
Actually, in the extension, what was the reason that was disturbed, that he was killing all those animals and was that?
It means they have to hunt to maintain their
suffering.
Okay, here. Turn around. They saw that the self animals get covered.
Put your name on top as well.
Put your name on the top. Any question one?
Just giving answers, right?
Yeah. Just list the five topics. the four Vedas and what they contain.
Thank you.
qualities. Why was he considered to be so powerful? What qualities?
Thank you.
of the nine months?
That much is good.
Those are all the points that the Mahabharata is bringing out.
Yes.
That if we take Mahabharata as a tree, then Krishna, Balaram and all the Brahmanas are the roots.
Yeah.
Arjuna is the trunk. Bhima is the branches. And Nakul Sahadev are the leaves, flowers and fruits. And the whole tree is Yudhishthira Maharaj.
Yeah, very good point.
Just by respecting and listening to the seniors.
Got it.
You can get the stuff that you need when you get on the course of master who got that personal art. Just by listening to Yuga and using these courses things.
Once you get some power or authority, you shouldn't become attached to it. Because you can see, like Indra, he got power, but he's always scared of getting it lost. He keeps sending a star down. So that's one. Then you have the, along with.
Who is considered the second Indra, or who is considered like the Indra as well? Why?
And then along with
the
along with privilege comes responsibility.
Okay.
And you can't that you can see a person's self, their character, by seeing what they're working with or their progeny.
And an example of that, who would that be?
You can see Maharaj. No. At least, you know, maybe we're not ready to represent him, but you can see you can see the gardens. You can see other boys who have graduated, those who have finished, and they're out there doing great.
Is that five for you? Balaram and Adi.
Okay.
what's most respected about a person is often also what makes them bad if it's not done properly. Like, those vaishyas, they're always going to get money and everything, but they give away in charity, so that's considered good about them.
Okay. So that if we can push our foot off on the ground, then we can
was the way that we had done salvation, she had an egg, and she had a son.
Egg?
Kings are the most dutiful to protect their subjects.
Okay. Just to
take time. For them. Until. What did you say? Guru chastity is chastity to Guru Sadhu.
Don't take shelter of them when your time comes, like Takshika, you can come in or nothing's in the side of the problem, just not that, right?
Okay. Yes.
And so you should be not so greedy or less greedy than things. Like a snake, they were pretty much into taking negatives and stuff to make the push out of the kind of skin.
Yes, well, there was a boy who was sick.
Friendship should be between equals, or people and Brahmana.
Okay. Yes.
In relation to Timothy, the one who stepped on the branch, then broke the hand of the tribe to the shadow of Sujism.
Okay.
And that's a person.
Better when you don't call them by name. The pressure is less. Yes, Brahmana.
So when I said Drona and Kripa are both, Brahmins, and actually Drona is in a higher position, but as soon as Drona became the Senapati, then Kripa was telling him what is to be done as a Brahman, and Drona accepted because he knew that he's taking this role.
Okay.
What does it mean to be a Brahmachari Vanuvali? Well, there are two main aspects of Brahmachari. It's sensitive and self-control. So, basically, that is all that a Brahmachari has to be and live under the guidance of this person.
Are you sensitive and self-control?
Not yet.
What is the mood that you should have in Gurukul
Bharata? Service attitude.
What about it?
You have to have the mood that always is serving the teacher and wishing for his good love.
What should be the mood with the juniors, Adi?
Take care of them and help them if they need it, but you should correct them also if they're not doing something wrong.
Do you find yourself doing that?
I don't really have anybody under me.
Oh, okay.
He's on the bottom.
No, still, this boy is younger than me. Protect. You don't have to be in a position to protect him.
Does anybody have any questions? Comments?
Will the class continue again after the holidays?
Yeah, he's asking, is it continue when they come back after, means after a week?
Yeah, it continues next semester.
This testing is just for your report card, and then after it continues.
Arjuna was so beautiful.
Says that a brahmachari should stay in Gurukul for the benefit of the guru. So how does the guru get benefited by students staying in the guru?
Brahmachari stays in the Gurukul for the benefit of the guru. How does the guru get benefit from that? It's the attitude in which, in other words, he's doing the services of the school that in such a way that it will be pleasing to the guru. Does that make sense? It's not that specifically by him being there, then the guru is benefiting. You know what I'm saying? It's not that in that way. It means that he's not thinking how I should do things for myself. Right? You know, now I'll go do this for myself or that for myself. You know, guru's given instruction, now I'll study that, there's this, you know, a place needs to be cleaned, or you see something that should be done, so it's done, or, you know, things like that. That's another way to say it. So does that make sense?
Would it be the intelligent endeavor?
Yeah, because that's enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is endeavor with intelligence. Right? Means pranipata, one is interested, right? Hare Krishna, then one will inquire properly to try to understand how to, it should be applied, and Sevaya, he'll render service. Right? So like that, then it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's the whole idea is that we're trying to, if relationship means sacrifice for another person, right? Sacrifice means that you're giving up, voluntarily giving up something yourself for someone else. Right? So actually that's how relationship works. So then that means then the whole system is geared that we're always in the process of not worrying as much about ourselves as about others. Does that make sense? So to the degree we can do that, to that degree, we'll be successful in our just dealings around, you know, wherever we may be. So then, this is very upset this thing about something. So then, so the whole system is that. So as you learn and develop this mood of service and without doing it for some particular fruit of gain, to that degree you'll be able to be successful anywhere in anything. You know what I'm saying? Because without these qualities, then the whole human society doesn't function. So the sense control, respect, knowledge, menial service, there, let's see, what else? Cleanliness, purity, the ability to follow rules and regulations or have a set thing of duties that one does because others expect something from you, so you're able to fulfill those needs. Right? Does that make sense? These are the foundation of the whole human society. So it's not that what you're doing here is somehow or another disassociated with what works anywhere else. Does that make sense? It means it's based on this that everything you'll do anywhere else in any sphere, if you have these qualities, then it will be successful. Right? If you don't have those qualities, to that degree you won't be successful. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just, this is how it's there. So you should never think that, oh, here we're just here and this and that, and then when I get big, then we go off and it's a completely different thing. Or when I'm in the school, it's one thing, but when I go at home, it's another thing. No, it doesn't. It's this is how the whole universe functions. So it doesn't matter you're here somewhere else, but here you can all get together and study it and develop it. Then go out and do things throughout the universe, right? Does that make sense? But otherwise, if you just take this as just something that is done, okay, that's a school thing or this or that, then you'll find that anywhere else it won't work well. It's just like you're adult, let's say you have some service you're doing, but if you dress badly, will anyone take you seriously? Or if you're dirty, right? Or you're lazy and don't actually like to complete any work, or don't want to come on time, you're always late, or you don't perform your duties properly, you just do whatever you like, right? You know, you're not respectful to your superiors, or you're very rough with anybody that's junior to you. Can you think of any situation where you'll be successful? Right? Think about it. It's not. So what you're learning here is exactly what you need to work outside. Much of the time the emphasis is put on, okay, what are you learning in the way of math and language and other occupational skills by which you can make money. But money doesn't make life. You need money, but what's more important is the relationships that are there that you need money for. Does that make sense? People live on the side of the road under a plastic sheet and are happy. Right? And people live in palaces and are unhappy. you also get vice versa. But does that make sense? So that's not the point that's being... The point is that's secondary to relationship. Right? If the relationships don't work, no matter how much money you have or anything else, you won't be happy. Your life will fall apart. Right? So these principles of character are which everything else will work. So then what knowledge you do have, you'll be able to use fully and get the full benefit from. Does that make sense? So like that, then. So the process is very serious. So we see is that these brahmacharis, you know, Udalaka, Utanka, you know, Veda, they took it very seriously and they're very successful, right? But it was why they mentioned in this book. Essence of the Vedas is being brought into this book. So why these persons? Right? Because they understood the importance and they're famous. And you'll see their names come up throughout the book. Right? We heard that Udalaka, right, is a brahmachari. But then in that, when they were talking about, what was it? Ruru, or wasn't it Ruru? When his wife was bitten by the snake? He was also one of the sages that were there and feeling, you know, so unfortunate. Right? So these persons will come up again and again. Because they understood the essence. They took it seriously. Therefore, they were the best. Right? Arjuna, we hear about Arjuna, but now when you go back to his Gurukul training, who was the best student? Arjuna. So that's the point. How good a student you are, how good you're able to perform your duties as a student, to that degree you will also be expert outside of school. It's direct. This is not only words, it's not just theory. The system is created by Krishna. It's created by God. And he created the universe. So this is the educational process by which you can learn how to deal with the universe. Right? So if that understanding is there, then you get the most benefit from it. You know, you don't, then yes, it's just another school. You know, just like a diamond is just another stone. Right? But someone who's smart knows this diamond's worth something.
What is the significance of Upanayana?
Technically speaking, Upanayana signifies that one is actually human. Right? Because then it means one is actually serious about inquiry. One wants to know, one wants to do, one wants to have the qualifications too. So basically in it, the qualities of the, you know, the proper student is there, of that they want to know, they're clean, they're properly behaved, they follow the rules, they deal with other people properly, you know, senior, junior, even the animals. You know, they know, how you say, they can maintain proper etiquette. All these things, because they're so important for it. So the Upanayanam signifies someone who has understood this and is taking it seriously. And it gives the opportunity then to apply this into more technical areas of like the deity worship and cooking and, you know, rituals that require the mode of goodness. So it signifies someone who takes the mode of goodness seriously, like that, you know. And the thread itself is considered an ornament.
Is there a cutoff point for it?
Cutoff point for it traditionally for Brahmins is 16, like that. That's traditionally where it goes. Like that. That's why it's expected once you get serious before that. Ideally, one is serious so that at 5 years old, one gets Upanayanam. And if you really want to be technical, that's 5 years old from when you were conceived. So that means actually when you're 4 years old, you could have those qualities be serious enough. So, you know, in the ancient times, only those who had Upanayanam got into Gurukul, right? But then, of course, they were, you know, born into families who practiced and do these, and so by the time they were four, actually by the time they were actually conceived, They already had that foundation of that ability. But now, you know, we give some time.
But now sometimes you can give like 17?
Depends on the nature like that, but can be. But otherwise, then the point is it's not, the Upanayanam is not a goal. Upanayanam is the beginning, the start. Right? Sometimes we see the idea is when I get Upanayanam, then I can sit back because I made it. No. Now it starts so you can get serious. That's the thing with Upanayanam. That's what I've seen as the biggest mistake with Upanayanam. It'll be seen as a position or prestige, you know, or like that. And then it's gotten, and then for 6 months they do really nice, and then after that they figured, okay, been there, done that. But it's the beginning. You know, it's just like you take initiation from the spiritual master. That's not, okay, now I'm initiated, now that's it. No, now you're supposed to get serious about going back to Godhead. So Upanayanam means someone who's actually serious about being a brahmachari, being a student, who actually wants to be successful in life. Because if you can't get successful in the Gurukul, how you'll be successful outside? It just won't work. Because this is not some weird, it's not just a strange thing that what you're learning is divorced from what goes on outside. It may not look like what goes on outside externally, but what actually makes the whole thing work is internally what you do, because externally you can't, right? You're brahmachari, so you don't have a family and take a wife and money and this and that. That's what externally grihasthas deal with. But internally they're having to deal with sense control, sensitivity, the sense of duty, commitment, focus, you know, respect, humility, tolerance. That's actually what makes it work. The other thing is just facilities, you know. Like, we want to have a class, so we need a classroom. Okay? But does the classroom make education? Is it education? We have a classroom. So therefore, any grihastha who thinks, I have a house, I have money, I am, you know, taking care of my wife and that, you know, all of her needs. She's got her saris, her bangles, she has her kids, and you know, I make sure that nobody bothers her, and if she has a problem, then I arrange everything, and therefore now I can wash my hands and I'm the perfect grihastha. That's an absolute illusion. It's good that they've done that, because you need that, but the real grihastha is actually the personal interaction between him and his family. Does that make sense? So that aspect you can do here. You understand? All the qualities needed to be a good grihastha, a good vanaprastha, a good sannyasi, a good brahman, a good kshatriya, a good vaishya shudra, they're all learned here. That remains. What you do changes, right? You be a grihastha, you have things, money. You be a vanaprastha, you have none of that. You have a sannyasi, you have less than even that. So the externals aren't what make it. Most people make that mistake. Okay, he has a degree, he has a job, he has money, therefore he's going to be a great grihastha. No, he can create facility that you could be one, but he himself may be a terrible grihastha. Because he thinks that's it. Like that. No, for a fact, right? You get something. Let's say somebody gives you a gift, and it's a valuable gift. Okay? And it's something you like. And you wear it. Let's say it's like a watch. Okay? It's a good watch. You get it. Let's say after some time, you that person that gave you that watch, you have a bad relationship with and you don't like them. Right? The boy will keep the watch. He likes the watch. It's good. He gave it to me, but you know, that guy. A girl will take it off and throw it away. You can give her diamonds, gold. She doesn't like you, it's out the window. She'll give it away. So therefore, it's not the wealth and facilities. Right? That's what you get from your varna. But the ashram aspect, that's where the spiritual life, the development, all that happens. Right? Brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprasthanya. That's through which you go back to Godhead. The varna is a furtherance of that, so that the social life can go on, because everybody needs stuff to get done. So therefore, somebody teaches and does the yajnas, somebody manages, somebody creates the economics, somebody assists. But the real point is everybody's making money to go through the ashrams. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's why it's all serious. So that's the significance. The Upanayana means that someone's serious. It's not a prestige, it's not this, that. You know what I'm saying? We've used that because that's how the boys are thinking, right? That's why some of you don't have your chudders now, right? Because you're taking it as a prestige and a position, but once you have it, then it's everything's done, rather than it's a dynamic thing. You know what I'm saying? It's a mentality. It's not the external. That's just the sign that goes along with it. Then you feel, okay, I've got to this step, now I go to the next step, then the next step. Right? Because even in Upanayanam, there's levels. You get Upanayanam, then you study the Vedas and learn the puja, but you don't know it. The next stage is you actually know all the mantras, you know all the yajnas, you know all that, and you're proficient, you can do it. That's the middle stage. Right? And then next is that you can actually teach it to others and do other things like that. Right? So you're becoming so bewildered by the first stage, how are we ever going to get to the second and third? Right? Does that answer your question? Some other questions? Something else? Anyone else? Questions? No? Yes?
Once you like achieve a stage or achieve something, how to keep the guru afterwards?
Once you achieve a certain level of proficiency or expertise, how do you keep from maintaining it? Means all remembering all small goals are on the path to the biggest goal, which is developing love for Krishna and pleasing Krishna. So then it's a matter of, okay, now I've gotten this skill, okay, now I'm a good writer, or I'm good at math, or I know the yajnas, or I could cook nicely, or you know, I know martial arts, or but then it's how that will be properly used in Krishna's service. So for it to be valuable to Krishna, one has to be humble. Right? It has to be done with devotional attitude. All those things. Otherwise, even though you know it nicely, Krishna's not going to be pleased. Right? If you think, I'm such a great cook, oh, this is so fabulous, Krishna's going to love this. You know, generally you'll find that's the one that gets kicked off the altar. Right? So, that's one aspect. The other aspect that we discussed before, the metaphysical, is any ability we have is coming from Krishna anyway. It's just that we pleased him by the endeavor. In other words, everything happens by desire. You don't have desire, nothing happens, right? Right? So therefore, practice means you're proving your desire. Does that make sense? You know, let's say I want to learn Mridanga. That means I have to sit down and play these mechanical mantras day in, day out, right? But by doing that, it proves to Krishna that's actually what you want. You know? Does that make sense? So that's actually what's going on. It's not that yes, I practice, I become so expert. No, we're 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. What can we do? We can only desire. So it's by Krishna's grace we're able to move our hands, do this and do that, and so many things. Yeah. So then once Krishna has given us to that, then we have that, it doesn't mean that we become proud. We understand where it's come from, and we understand where it's supposed to go to. It's come from Krishna, it's supposed to go back from Krishna. Like you see, I think it's like going from like Gujarat, going to Udaipur. There'll be trains full of stuff, like bananas and other things like that, for the deity Srinathji in Udaipur, because he's like the deity for the Gujaratis. And on it will be, it will say, from Srinath to Srinath. Right? Nobody's name is on that train. If it came from Jaipur, the Marwaris, of course, everybody's name would be plastered over, you know, from, you know, this one, that one. But if the Gujaratis, it's from Krishna, it's to, going to Krishna. Right? When you go to Gujarat, you don't see, you know, the person's name on the fan blade donated by and stuff like that. Because they know it's coming from God, He is well, it's his, we are working to please him, he's giving everything, and then we give that back. Does that make sense? Yeah? Is that, yeah? Yeah? Ben?
Also, like, when we have so much faith in some granted, especially since our values and everything are such high standard, then it becomes normal.
Okay. Okay. So since we're working at higher standards, how do we not take those high standards once they're, you know, we're practicing them as just normal, right? You want to stop now?
It's 8 o'clock.
No, it's 2 minutes to eight. Just understand the value of what it is. Even though it's normal, it's still valuable. You know, like that. Because the point is the process is dynamic. If it's not developing, then the taste will be lost. Yeah? Okay? Sorry, huh?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.